All right. We have half an hour, and I will keep my time. I'd like to still impress upon you, brothers and sisters, when we use the word fostering, when we talk about fostering, the emphasis here is to provide an environment, right? And then a fostering environment with some persons there that is just doing that work. Actually, I shouldn't even use the word work because the emphasis is not work. You know, parents, okay, parents, do you every day get up? Oh, today is a day of work for me. Well, of course, there's work involved, but do you think that that is, oh, I now go to the job to be a parent? I don't think so. You just wake up and this is another, you're still at home. Even the night was at home and you're still in that environment. And you don't have the thought that you are some hireling, you're some, you're doing a job. You are a parent, you are a father, you are a mother. And this is not your job. This is just what you do. This is just what you do. And especially, of course, if your heart is on your children and you love them and you want the best for them, you want them to grow up properly, healthily, you would just automatically do that every day. You cook the breakfast, you cook them, you prepare lunch, you prepare dinner, you make sure they are, are healthy and clean. They take their shower. They study. They go to school. They learn things, and then you would also help them in things of morality, things of ethics. I'm talking about in the human realm. You just do that naturally and spontaneously as a parent, if you're a proper mother and father. You see, the church is a family. The church has many aspects, but mainly the church is the household of God, the house of the living God. And the church should provide such an environment. Such a fostering environment. I mean, I think this is a good way to check whether your church just can, what the condition of your church life is, where you are. Does that have that fostering environment? Or is it just a church with some meetings, with some services? Or is there a fostering environment? Then your family life, rather your home life, does it have that kind of fostering spirit, the fostering atmosphere, the fostering environment there? You see, if there is, then I tell you, your church is a shepherding church. Your home is a shepherding home. Whoever would gets into that church, whoever will get into that home will feel shepherded and cared for. So this is the point here. You know, Paul's testimony, Paul's pattern is exactly that. The father, the mother, with this kind of a spirit, just of nurturing people and feeding people and cherishing people and nourishing people and teaching people in the way of educating them properly. Even in here, because of what they're facing in those days, and of even eventually inoculating them. You know, you want your children to be healthy, you make sure they get the necessary vaccination, or they don't they eat the proper food, and You know, it's all inclusive, so that this person will not only survive, but this person will thrive as a human being, productive human being, a proper human being. We are doing this in the divine realm. To what? To produce a proper living, functioning member, useful member in the body of Christ, one who would contribute to God's economy, ones who would contribute to the building up of Christ's body. And that is a lot of work. Now, I want to here you have B in Roman 2 in this outline. I don't know whether it's on the screen or not, but there's an emphasis here in verse chapter 1, verse 6. Well, let me see here. First Thessalonians 1, 6. He says, Paul says in the beginning of this, remember he talked about firstly remembering the work of faith, the labor of love, the endurance of hope, and so on. In verse 6, he said, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the want to point out this word, imitators. And this is not the only time Paul used this word. Here, later on in chapter 2, he talks about imitating the other churches. But here he said, the imitators of us. Paul did not, in other words, Paul did not just preach the gospel to the Thessalonians. He lived the gospel. Paul lived. He didn't provide the word. He didn't just minister the word. He wasn't just a preacher. Paul was a pattern. He lived what he preached. And that ministry, therefore, is not just the ministry of the word, which was there, but also the ministry of a life, the display, the expression, the pattern of a life that he lived with the power of God, with the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. That's the context. They were the pattern of the good news they're spreading, of the gospel that they are spreading. All right. And so when it comes to this matter of fostering, parental fostering, he basically said the same thing without using the word imitation. But he said, he keeps saying, you saw, you and he spoke the fact of the his experience and their experiences. He said, you remember our labor and travail. You remember how we work night and day not to be burdensome on you. You are witnesses how in a holy and righteous and blameless manner we conducted ourselves. You know how we were with each one of you as a father. You see, Paul was not just there teaching, telling them a bunch of points of truth. Paul was again and again presenting himself, referring to the co-workers, he and his co-workers, of how they were and how they were with them and how they were concerned for them and how they care for them. In other words, he was fostering them by being a pattern. Now, this is a big point, brothers and sisters. You look back, I look back at my life. Humanly, I mentioned my dear father, right? But spiritually also, starting with my grandmother and then with various saints over different periods of time in my life, which I still recall today after many decades, I look back and say, how Did I become what I am today? Of course, I learned, I got educated, I read, I picked this up and that up. Yes. But when I trace back and look back, let's say my spiritual life, what brought me to this point? I realized it was through successive patterns in my life, right? People who might not, who were not preachers, who were not people who were not, co-workers, people who were elders, people who were just loving believers. They loved the Lord. They live a holy life. They were godly. You see, they have the reality of Christ, and they had an interest in me. And they pick me up at this point and that point in my life and pray for me, look after me, spoke to me, sometimes cherishing, sometimes nourishing, sometimes just caring for me even in human things. And other times there will be speaking to me, teaching me the word of the Lord. But whatever the case may be, I was, I grew up in this kind of fostering environment in the church life, being shepherded by different saints. And that atmosphere of shepherding, I got the help and I grew in life. I think you can testify to the same. I share my story before with you concerning this brother, Eugene Grulla Sr., as an example. I gave you my story. Yeah, how he was the one that, just he couldn't speak in the meeting. He was not, didn't have that gift of speech. But, he prays. He prays behind the scenes. Number one. Number two, he invites the saints to his homes, especially young people, to his homes, his home, fed them, and then he would, in a one-on-one way, at least in my experience, one-on-one way, foster me, testified to me, exhorted me. And that those were life-changing experiences. And it was through this that I grew, that I began to be fostered and begin to be cultivated, that begin to be shaped. I was shaped and formed through all this kind of care. See, brothers and sisters, this is what we need in our church life. And all of us should not just be recipients of such shepherding care or fostering care. All of us should be those who foster and those who shepherd. Let's go to B here. I don't want to spend it on, every point, but this is a good point. In 1:6, Paul says to the Thessalonians, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." Imitating is related to growing. This is a huge, big point. You can say children grow more by imitation, learning, picking up things of what they observe than by being taught actually on this and on that. So you can give them some, like reading a book. You can read the book with text, but it helps to have an illustration and a picture, you know what I mean, or a photograph, because that demonstrates what you're teaching. So especially young Christians, they're looking for patterns. Today, young people, you know what they're short of? You know what our society is, why this the next generation are so deprived? They're deprived of patterns, proper patterns. All they see is bad patterns, evil patterns. And no wonder they grow up in that kind of a way. It's not the book, so read this good book or read that good book, that they become moral, they become proper. They see patterns, people who are like that, genuinely. not hypocritically. And so today, to provide a fostering environment, we need a lot of patterns. And so the burden is upon you and I to live as patterns, to walk the talk. You know what I mean? To live what we preach, all these wonderful truth, all these different things. You know, sorry to say, there are cases where young believers, even some trainees in FTTA, they are assigned to some place and they go into some home, saints' homes. They didn't see a proper pattern. They see the opposite. That stumbled them, greatly, hugely stumbled. He said, all this great stuff you teach in the church, the recovery, the best. Then I see this. The picture doesn't match the text. You became imitators of us. You know, in Acts 20, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders, he recounted again of how he was with them. In that case, not for three weeks, like with the Thessalonians. It was 3 years with the Ephesians. And there he said, you know how I work with my own hands. I didn't burden any of you. With tears, with humility, night and day, I visit you from house to house. I held nothing back. What was that? That was fostering. That is not just a, you know, A-list apostle, you know what I mean, doing his thing. No. Paul was that a father and a mother fostering that church in Ephesus for 3 years. And that laid a solid foundation for that church to become a prominent church there in Asia Minor. Well, dear saints, that's what we're talking about. But it has to start with us. It has to start with our own home. And then it has to be our church life. Young people grow by imitating, by observing patterns, by being in a fostering environment, an environment with the proper pattern. Here it says, in family, children imitate their parents and older brothers and sisters. The little ones do not invent anything, they just imitate. It's absolutely true. And in the spiritual realm, it is the same, brothers and sisters. Two, the children imitate their parents in many things, in gesture, speech, character. Parents are patterns, models for their children. Whatever the parents are, the children will be also. So if we want to really be the fostering parents, brothers and sisters, we need the Lord's grace. We need to exercise ourselves in so many ways, our living, our behavior, our speech, our conduct. We have to all have to be fitting to fostering. Here, see, it says the best way to feed others and foster children is to give them a proper pattern. If there's no pattern, there can be no fostering. Isn't this true? Isn't this true? You know, I just remember, it's not what I don't even remember what was said to me. But I remember how they were. You follow me? I remember how they were. And that warmed me up. That taught me. That fostered me. Again and again. One, Paul's concern in 1 Corinthians 2 is with the growth of his children. That's our concern. This is the reason that instead of giving the believers a great deal of teaching, he presents them with a pattern of life, his own pattern. Paul gives a strong testimony of his living among the Thessalonians. He reminds them of the apostles' coming and of their manner of life among them. He emphasizes it is because he was presenting a pattern of proper living to the young saints. Let us live, dear saints, not for ourselves, but for others, for their sakes. I don't mean we perform or we put on a show, obviously. We have to be real and genuine. But this is part of, important part of our fostering of the young believers. You know, we can testify, those of us who have the experience, that actually this kind of care people saved us. You know? Just because they're coming to our home, we have to behave ourselves. You see? Just because we have to minister to them, we have to, that word has to be real to me. And just because I have to take care of some of their particular problems and needs, I have to have that kind of experience in order to give them the testimony, right? By the way, testimony fosters people. You know, let's say the father testifying, we can almost say, almost like a message doesn't foster people so much, but a person's testimony, the real living testimony, that fosters people. That help them to grow. Because that is not just the book of words, that is a book of pictures, the book of photographs. You can see it. You can see. Okay. Two, feeding involves presenting of patterns, either from the Bible or from church history. So I can surely testify to this, that when I was young, especially I was in my high school years, not just reading the Bible and studying the figures, knowing the figures, you know, various figures in the Bible, but even figures in church history. That fostered me a lot, even until today. I read biographies of all the great, not all, but many of the great servants of the Lord, and that fostered me tremendously. Nothing fostered me like stories, like biographies, like that kind of a history, because it's real. To this day, I'm still feeding off on that. I remember the story of Zinzendorf. I remember the story of John Wellesley. I remember the story, you know, of so many of these servants of the Lord, of Mueller, you know, of Spurgeon, of Moody, other of these great men of the Lord who had an example, a testimony that fostered me tremendously. So, if our own experience is lacking, I'm on three now. Point the new believers to the positive pictures, figures in the Bible, right? To help them. I think we do that with our children's meeting and sometimes even in our, with our junior hires, right? And then also the biographies of the saints through the ages. We will nourish ourselves and experience a kind of fostering. I like this word nourish. Patterns nourish. They don't just teach, they nourish. In other words, they feed you. What we are, shepherd's people, not just what we say. I hope you remember this sentence. Not just what you tell them, but how you live, how you behave, how you care, that impacts them, their lives. They would have something to follow. They would have something in the good sense to imitate. Of course, there's no better pattern than the pattern of the Lord Jesus himself, right? So the story of the Lord Jesus is the greatest pattern, all right? And then five, we hope that all the elders and leading ones will see from Paul's example that we must be a pattern to the saints, but not just elders and leading ones, all of us who have a heart to care for people. In every local church, there must be some patterns, some models for others to follow. I hope not just a few. I hope there will be many. Let us pray in that way. Lord, make me a pattern. I pray that way. I'm not perfect. I know that. But Lord, make me a little model, a small model for those who are under my care. Not for thousands of people, but for these few that are under my parental care. All right? Six, if you consider the situation among believers today, you realize that many Christians have no sense of direction, even Christians. The reason for this is lack of direction is that they do not have a proper pattern. We need to be a pattern to others and foster them. Today, young people are without direction, without direction. You can say it's because they are without a pattern. They're without a pattern. How much dear brother Witness Lee, have been a pattern to all of us. To especially we can testify, some of us who have the chance to be close to him and to observe him. But we need to do the same. Well, Francis, I end my fellowship today. I hope this these words would again were beneficial to you or useful to you. But in the end, you have to start to do it. Don't just wait. Don't just hem and haw. Brothers and sisters, let us all stir ourselves up. Let us all rise up. Let us all take the initiative. Let us be aggressive. As the Lord leads, and with much prayer, contact people. Look for ones that you can care for, and but never considering them your own, your property, because they are not. They belong to God, they belong to the Lord, and they belong to the church. We are just the ones assigned, allotted for that period of time, for that, in that environment, to care for them. But as it were, let us pour out ourselves, even to the point of imparting our own souls to them. And I will finally just leave you with this thought. And this is still in chapter 2, later on in verse 17, that reveal this verse, Paul's heart for the Thessalonians. He said this, "But we brothers, having been bereaved of you for a little while in presence, not in heart, were more abundantly eager with great desire to see your face." This implies the apostle Paul consider these new believers, young believers, so precious and so dear to them that even his leaving them physically, departure from them, a bereavement, like someone died. The apostles felt bereft because they could not be around these ones that are beloved to them. They consider leaving them a loss and a suffering. Do you touch the spirit of the apostle? Do you touch the heart of the apostle for people? May this be our case. I stop here, brothers. Amen.